Next case is 96-2671, State of Ohio versus Tyree Williams. Ms. Harkajian.
May it please the court, my name is Leslie Harkajian. I represent the State of Ohio.
Watch your time there.
Mr. Chief Justice, members of the court, Mr. Mello, the facts giving rise to this appeal are that the appellee, along with another, shot the victim in the stomach, resulting in serious injury. The grand jury indicted the appellant with one count of complicity to commit attempted murder with firearm specification.
Could you repeat what you said? The appellee did what?
The appellee, along with another, shot the victim in the stomach, which resulted in serious injury to the victim.
I've been having trouble with the fact of this. What did he do?
The facts that occurred at trial were that he, along with another, went to a residence and where the victim was. They confronted the victim in a bedroom, and the other co-defendant had the gun. He shot the victim in the stomach. However, the appellant in this case, participated in that. He urged the co-defendant to shoot the victim in the stomach. So he was not actually the shooter. He was charged as a neighbor and abettor in this case.
Didn't he give him the gun?
Yes, there was also facts in the case that at one point the co-defendant who had the gun handed the gun to the appellant, and then right before shooting the victim put his hand out, and the defendant gave the gun back to him, after which the co-defendant immediately shot the victim in the stomach. At the conclusion of all of the evidence presented at trial, the state requested and received a jury instruction on the lesser included offense of complicity to commit felonious assault. This was done without any objection from the appellee. The jury convicted appellee of this offense and the firearm specification. Appellee appealed to the Fifth District Court of Appeals, raising a number of assignments of error, none of which included the question which is certified to this court for review. Nevertheless, the Court of Appeals sua sponte ruled that felonious assault is not a lesser included offense of attempted murder and reversed appellee's conviction. We are here to address the Court of Appeals' opinion with regard to this issue upon certification by the court on this issue as a conflict. Although the appellee's conviction was reversed based on four independent grounds, the thrust of the Court of Appeals' opinion focuses on the holding that felonious assault is not a lesser included offense of attempted murder. The basis for the Court of Appeals' opinion was that the two offenses, attempted murder and felonious assault, do fail the second prong of the test for lesser included offense of the spouse in State versus Bean. Specifically, the court reasoned that an individual can attempt to murder someone without causing any physical harm. The Court of Appeals relied heavily on this court's opinion in State versus Cross that the evidence is not to be considered in determining whether an offense is a lesser included offense. The decision
of if we answer the certified question, find that felonious assault is a lesser included offense, does this affect the judgment from the Court of Appeals?
Yes, it would affect the judgment because the Court of Appeals in this particular case has reversed and remanded for new trial on the charge of attempted murder, first of all. Secondly, the appellee's position is the other errors that the Court of Appeals reversed on are without merit, and that this entire case should be affirmed, and that the judgment of the Court of Appeals should be reversed in its entirety.
that's not before us. We're only really answering a certified question in this case. Because it seemed to be two of the judges from the Court of Appeals disagreed with the majority opinion on the issue of this being a lesser included offense. Am I right about that? We had two judges saying they thought that it was a lesser included offense, but nevertheless agreed with reversing the conviction.
The opinion of the Court of Appeals is ambiguous and confusing. There are a number of factors that would lead to a conclusion that it is the majority holding that felonious assault is not a lesser included offense of attempted murder. For example, two of the judges signed the majority holding that felonious assault is not a lesser included offense of attempted murder. Second, Judge Farmer, in her concurring opinion, indicates that she is dissenting from the majority view that felonious assault is not a lesser included offense of attempted murder. Thirdly, all three judges agreed that the case should be remanded for retrial on the charge of attempted murder. If the holding were that felonious assault is a lesser included offense of attempted murder, it seems that the proper retrial would be for the charge of felonious assault. Finally, in State versus Nelson, which is also pending for this court's review out of the 5th Appellate District involving the same issue, the court unanimously held that felonious assault is not a lesser included offense of attempted murder. Two of the judges on that panel were different than the judges in this panel. One judge was the same in both cases. The end result being that at least three, if not all, of the judges from the 5th Appellate District hold the opinion that felonious assault is not a lesser included offense of attempted murder. Certainly, when trial courts review these two opinions together, they would come to that conclusion.
Counsel, if we find it is a lesser included offense, what then happens? That's where I get lost in this case.
If felonious assault is a lesser included offense of attempted murder,
if we answer the certified question that way.
Right. And the court would determine that the other assignments of error were correctly decided.
What court?
If this court would not address the other assignments of error that led to the reversal of the appellant's conviction, then the proper remand would be for retrial on felonious assault.
Do you think adopting your third proposition of law will straighten out this problem? Because I'm quick to admit to you, I don't understand it. There's a long history with regard to this going all the way back to the Rhodes case. And then after Rhodes, we had Kidder, I think, and that confused it even more. Then we had Dean, and I can tell you without being more specific that Dean was written a different way, and then switched for some particular reason. And Deem, it seems, confuses it maybe even more. How are we ever going to straighten out what is a lesser included offense unless we just say, it looks like it, it smells like it, it sounds like it, so it is? Which is about what your third proposition of law says, isn't it?
Well, the proposed test still leaves some emphasis on the statutory elements.
Well, that's your part four of your, or part three of your proposition. Some element of the greater offense is not required to prove the lesser offense. What does that mean?
I'm sorry, your
proposition of law number three.
The second prong, the first and third prongs remain the same as the test and theme.
And isn't that where the problem is? The third prong of your test. Some element of the greater offense is not required to prove the lesser offense.
Isn't that the third prong of theme?
But if it were not confusing, it would not have been certified, you wouldn't be here. That is the third prong of Dean, and that, but if that's the rule, then you lose, don't you, in this case?
Well, the Court of Appeals felt that there was a second prong of Dean that was problematic, because that prong requires that the greater offenses statutorily defined cannot ever be committed without the lesser offenses statutorily defined also being committed. That, I believe, was a problem in this particular case, because they reasoned that you can attempt to murder someone without causing any physical harm.
Does that make any sense?
Well, you can miss. You can shoot to kill them, but miss. They're not harmed, right? Isn't that the?
And that was the example.
It's an attempt to murder, but your attempt is faulty. You shoot and you hit the bar instead of the person.
Right.
So you attempted to murder them, but you haven't harmed them.
It doesn't seem, and this is the part of the first proposition of law, that the Court of Appeals should have considered the attempt elements as laid out in 2923.02 in determining whether or not the offense is a lesser included offense. This court in State versus Kidder, when it decided that aggravated menacing was not a lesser included offense of murder, attempted murder, did not compare the elements of attempt in the Dean test, just looked at the elements of murder and compared those against the elements of aggravated menacing. So it seems that the Court of Appeals erred when it considered the attempt elements in its analysis.
But isn't there a simple way around this? You could have just indicted for both. And then if the jury finds against you on one, they could find through the indictment on the other. And we wouldn't be in the mix of trying to decide all of these technical elements that in a lot of cases just don't make sense.
Well, the difficulty with that, Justice Douglas, and that was suggested by Judge Hoffman in the Nelson case,
yes,
as a course of action, is that you would then require grand juries to indict with everything, including the kitchen sink. And of course, that grand juries, that is not their responsibility. They are to indict based on the evidence that is presented to them. They should not be in a position to speculate as to what the evidence may show at trial. Furthermore, if you indict a defendant with everything, including the kitchen sink, jurors will become confused. They will perhaps render verdicts that are illogical and unjust because they will have too many offenses with which they have to consider. I think that's exactly why there has been a test put in place for lesser included offenses to try to limit what a jury considers in a criminal case so that they don't get lost in the deliberation process.
Well, don't they ultimately have that problem when the judge gives the charge at the end?
Well, certainly the criminal charge is very lengthy in most cases and very confusing, but it would only compound the problem to have four additional criminal offenses that they have to choose from. At least the way it stands now, they only consider the indicted offense or offenses and any lesser included offenses that are applicable. And that certainly should be the limits of what they consider, because the instructions that they stand now are confusing. And we know that jurors have trouble even understanding that much of what they have.
Isn't the problem if you indict on everything? Well, I think the way they have to rule now, you don't know what evidence the defense is going to come up and negate with the grand jury verdict and require it really to drop down. And you may not know that, so you kind of, unless you try the whole case with the grand jury, you blow your chances of lesser proof.
That is exactly true. The grand jury doesn't hear the defense evidence, and oftentimes, in most cases, the defendant is the one who presents evidence of mitigation of intent. That evidence doesn't ever come before until the jury trial in a case. The second proposition of law in conclusion as to the first proposition of law, Fleming's assault is charged under section 29.03.11A1 should be considered a lesser included offense of attempted murder. Moving on to the second proposition of law, as the court is aware, there are two sections of the Fleming's assault statute. The trial court in this case charged the jury on both sections. 29.03.11A1 provides that a person shall cause serious, notably cause serious physical harm to another. Subsection A2 provides no person shall cause physical, knowingly cause physical harm by means of a deadly weapon. It is conceded that the second part of the felonious assault statute would not or would fail the second prong of the test in Dean based on this court's decision in State versus Cost, where the court decided that negligent homicide is not a lesser included offense of attempted murder because of the deadly weapon element in negligent homicide. However, it is logical and equitable to treat the entire felonious assault statute as a lesser included offense of attempted murder. The main basis why this is so is because the case law in Ohio has expanded the definition of deadly weapon to the outer limits. In a case involving an attempted murder or a murder, the means used to commit the offense almost always has been held to be a deadly weapon. So essentially, it has become unimportant in these types of cases whether the means used constitutes a deadly weapon. Should not make any difference then that when you have an attempted murder case, that felonious assault that was committed with a deadly weapon in an attempted murder case. Therefore, the fact that appellee used a deadly weapon did not change the overall nature of circumstances of the offense because an attempted killing was involved. The court should rule that felonious assault as charged under RC 2903A2 is a lesser included offense of attempted murder on that basis. And the third proposition of law, as Justice Douglas brought up, was the test, and the court is aware of the proposed test. I will save the remainder of my time for the law.
Thank you, Ms. Markajohn. Mr. Manillo.
May I please the court? Good morning. I'm James Sylvia Manillo. I represent Tyree Williams in this case. What we are dealing with here is your pick of one judge on the Fifth District Court of Appeals. This case was not, it has absolutely nothing to do with reversal in this case. Mr. Williams' conviction was reversed because the trial judge improperly gave instruction on felonious assault because he didn't find it correct.
Which is not like the Nelson case at all. Are these cases actually in conflict?
No, there isn't.
I don't see any conflict.
The majority opinion is in this case, to be perfectly honest with you. We have two judges signing the majority opinion, but Judge Wise dissents from the dicta of Judge Wynn and says, no, I think it is. So the real question is, what do we retry Tyree Williams on?
Well, the defense didn't object to this because the court reached out for this and called it plain error.
Right.
The defense didn't object.
No, I didn't raise this as an issue in the appeal, and I wouldn't. Because if we go back to retrial murder, Mr. Williams stands a chance of a life sentence, which is obviously penalizing him. If he had not appealed, the state of Ohio would not have appealed the raised decision. If he appealed unsuccessfully, the state of Ohio would not have raised the decision. How can it be raised at this point? Yeah, the error is, if they would have decided they didn't look at the issue of double jeopardy and sent it back, all three judges seem to comply. We can retry on attempted murder because the jury didn't sign the verdict form on the greater offense, and no consideration was given to the question of double jeopardy. As this court pointed out in Seamillan's Chevrolet versus Will of Gills, which isn't cited in my brief, but stands for the proposition that the Court of Appeals can decide that issue, but the proper procedure is to identify that issue tell the parties we're considering that issue, give you an opportunity to brief that issue. If that is done, then you could raise the issue of double jeopardy to the Court of Appeals and have them consider that. You may not be here for that. It really doesn't make any difference what your decision is, whether it is as long as it's already, as long as it's solved. We still have the issue of double jeopardy. We have a decision in case that Mr. Williams was guilty of felonious assault. That decision was reversed. That would get retried on. It cannot be retried on attempted murder, regardless of whether it's a lesser included offense or not a lesser included offense. United States Supreme Court, United States versus Green indicated that that jeopardy, whether it's proper lesser included offense or not, makes a difference. It's separate and distinct.
Well, we shouldn't be deciding the jeopardy issue here, though, should we?
Well, you...
Because it wasn't decided, it wasn't considered by the Court of Appeals.
It wasn't considered, well, that we never got an opportunity to raise it.
Well, right, but that...
The problem is, if you decide to certify a question that felonious assault is in fact a lesser included offense of attempted murder, the Court of Appeals ordered that you retry an attempted murder wrong. So it's going to happen in that event, you would have to correct the Court of Appeals decision.
Well, unless we send it back to the Court of Appeals and let the Court of Appeals decide that issue.
Well, if it's a lesser offense, then there was no error in trial, then there's no jeopardy clearly happened. And it cannot be retried on the murder. There's no reason to send it back to the Court of Appeals at that point. It's clear cut. And send it back and serve no purpose.
Basically, you're saying that the jury, by finding him guilty of felonious assault, and has acquitted him already of attempted murder, and that the rather strained opinions that we have on felonious assault, if we find that their felonious assault is a lesser included, when the jury's done its job, it's done, we're done. That would be
right. He goes back to the trial, because the errors that this case is worked on have absolutely nothing to do with whether felonious assault or felonious included.
Right, their errors are to do with
definitions. He goes back to the trial, what he did with the trial.
And you're arguing only on felonious assault, because the jury has already found not guilty on attempted murder.
Correct, he's already placed it. Well, whether the jury found it not guilty or not, he's already placed the jeopardy on the attempted and was the attempted murder, and wants the jury convicted.
Some of the jury instructions say, though, that they only would drop the felonious assault if they could not reach finding the guilty on it.
Correct, but the jury would not hang. They came to the decision on the assault. That would end the evidence. They would make the difference if they didn't sign the jury. They signed the jury.
Jury form in front of me, but usually when we did our jury form, we would say we the jury find the defendant not guilty of attempted murder, but find the guilty of the lesser included offense of felonious assault. Do you know if that's what that verdict form says?
The verdict forms in Stark County are usually given greater verdict forms. Finding the guilty or not guilty of greater charge, finding the guilty or not guilty of lesser charge.
So they don't include language like ours do, where you have stated in the jury form, not guilty of, but guilty of the lesser included.
Yeah.
I suggest that.
Yeah, that is a good
suggestion. Makes it much clearer on the verdict.
Counsel, let's go to the other issue, because if we reverse this case, you're right in a quandary with what happens when it goes back. So I'd like to know, was certified us as being in conflict first with Paro of the Cuyahoga County Court of Appeals? How is it in conflict with Paro?
Paro was decided before the control.
So clearly it cannot be the last word. Paro can't be, so whatever it is, okay. How's it in conflict with maybe? Again, the same issue, decided before. How is it in conflict with Chapman?
I think Chapman was decided before as well.
Well, it was decided in 1985, and that's right, Kidder Rhodes was in
might
have been in 84.
The only one that wasn't decided before was Staples and Ware. And Ware, what the court did is look at the facts of the case. really didn't.
Well, if they haven't certified us to actually being in conflict with Ray. Whalen. Yeah, Whalen, okay. And Whalen was decided in 1991. Now, how do those facts differ?
Well, the facts of this case don't really make any difference in the law. The question is, you're not going to design a test that's going to point to work in every situation. We're always going to have this, and this is a perfect situation. One needs to solve logically is a lesser offense of attempted murder or a murder. And it was, but it doesn't fit.
It can't be under the cases decided by this court, even though it looks like it and sounds like it and probably is.
And 99% of the time we want it.
All right, sure. Now let's stick with Whalen a minute. How does Whalen conflict with this case?
Whalen decided that it was a lesser included offense.
Felonious assault wasn't a lesser included offense of attempted murder.
Right.
All right, so is it directly in conflict on that issue, or did the facts, or was this case decided on something different than that?
I'm not sure.
And I'm not asking it very well. Do you perceive that there is a direct conflict between Williams and Whalen?
No.
Why?
We don't have a majority opinion in this case. The one thing stating that it is not a lesser-included offense.
Because the second judge in Williams agreed that it was.
Why should the facts in individual cases control or have any effect on the legal issue of whether one crime is a lesser included offense of another crime?
Well, I agree that that's going to create problems. But in a case like this, we did look at the facts. I think it would indicate that Felonious Assault was a lesser included offense in this case. A deadly weapon was used, serious physical harm occurred.
Yeah, you apply a test to it, don't you? You apply a legal test to it, and you're going to get different results in different cases based upon the facts of the case, aren't you? Why should we try to, it seemed to me you were trying to make the facts control the legal issue. I thought usually in the law and in this area, we set a standard and it's forever.
Yeah, I would agree. We started out with the test that looked at the facts of the case, and then we got away from that and developed the legal test. And actually, the legal test is better.
It seems to me it is. Why shouldn't there be one test for a legal issue, I guess?
Well, there should be, because it does amount to consistency throughout the state when we have a legal test that does not take into account the facts. But then we run into a situation like this where it sure does look like a lesser included offense, but it doesn't exist in legal test. So what do we do in that situation? As defense counsel, in most cases, we're going to ask for this. We didn't do it in this case, but in most cases, we would ask for this instruction on Felonious Assault. And now we can't ask for the instruction. The discretion is entirely with the prosecutor. We go to the grand jury, get the indictment on attempted murder rather than Felonious Assault. We're out of control.
To say that the facts have nothing to do with it, how can that be? Don't facts lead you to the elements?
Well, in this case, yes.
Sure, facts lead you to the elements, and the elements are part of the legal test.
That's the problem.
Yeah, just so you know, I didn't say that. What I said was, we have a legal test, and you don't use facts to determine what the test is. You apply the test to the facts, obviously. That's what I said.
That's what you're doing, sir. Double jeopardy bars retrial on the complicity of attempted murder. We never reached the issue before the Felonious Assault was a lesser included offense.
Okay, I think we have to.
It's not necessary. It wasn't necessary for reversal. I guess we're asking short circuit the situation, obviously, for the break that if you don't really know about it, so what we do now, we can go back to the trial.
Thank you, Mr. Minello.
Thank you.
Ms. Markajohn, you saved almost 2 minutes of your time.
that the court needs to address the certified issue in this case for the following reason. If the court permits the court of appeal, if this court permits the court of appeal's ruling to stand, and this case is remanded back for retrial on attempted murder, the trial court is not going to know whether to instruct the jury on a lesser included offense of felonious assault. As previously indicated, this opinion is very ambiguous and it lends its interpretation easily to being a majority holding. Trial court may very well look at it as that if the court doesn't answer the certified question. Then on appeal, a second appeal, the defendant can raise the issue that this is not a lesser included offense and obtain a second reversal on his conviction. Secondly, if the court agrees that felonious assault is a lesser included offense of attempted murder or remands the case back just to be retried on the felonious assault charge without answering the certified question directly, this court is impliedly holding that felonious assault is a lesser included offense of attempted murder because the case could not go back and be retried on felonious assault unless the court answers the certified question. Finally, with respect to the test, Spouse and Dean, to answer the Chief Justice's question, this test is too rigid. The court has never hesitated to change the test when inequities arise. And this is an example of where an inequity has arisen and shows that the second prong of Dean is too rigid. There needs to be more emphasis on the overall nature and circumstances of the offense. The way the present test stands, there is absolutely no looking at the evidence until a decision is made whether the offense is a lesser included offense. And there will be other offenses that come before this court that will be held to not be lesser included offenses that should be lesser included offenses. And the court will probably be faced with this issue again involving a different kind of offense. And for that reason, I think the court needs to take a look at the second prong of the possible change. Thank you.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. We'll take a brief recess.